Lord, we just thank you tonight that you are the one who we roll out the red carpet for tonight. We thank you that you're the guest of honor here tonight. You're the majesty. You're the King, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence here by your Spirit, Lord, that your presence is in our midst, Lord. And thank you that we can just come before you with humble hearts, just to receive from you this evening. Thank you that we can say, Lord, and that we can witness that you have sent your rain, the rain of your Spirit, Lord. You have poured out your Spirit in these last days. We thank you that we're living in the very last days, Lord, and that you've given us your Spirit. Thank you for the prophecy of the Old Testament that said that in the last days you will pour out your Spirit, Lord, and we are at the very end of the age, Lord. Even 2,000 years later, Lord, after you had already poured out your Spirit, yeah, we are today, Lord. And we can still experience the fullness of your Spirit, Lord. We thank you for that tonight. We thank you for visiting us, Lord, but we pray that you would also dwell with us, Lord. And we invite you in. Lord, many times we just want you to come and visit us, but Lord, we don't want you to dwell in our hearts. And tonight we say, Lord, we want you to dwell in our hearts, Lord. We come and we invite you to come in. We say, let the King of Glory come in to all of our hearts. I just sense the Lord wants to say to each one of us tonight, just invite him in. Roll out the red carpet for him in your life tonight. See your door, your heart's door just opening, and you say, Jesus, fill me again. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and be who you want to be in my life. But I give you the free rein tonight. I give you the full access into my heart tonight. I want you to be the guest. I want you to be the one in my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you want to be glorified in each of it, in every one of our lives as individuals, Lord. Not only as a body, Lord, but you want to meet us individually tonight. So we thank you that we can roll out the carpet for you, God. We say, walk into our lives, God. We give you full access tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that we can say, we don't want you to visit us, Lord. We want you to dwell with us. We desire you, Lord. We hunger and we thirst after your righteousness and after your fullness in our lives, Lord. We cannot go on any longer, Lord, playing church, playing religion, Lord. We are finished with that. We want your presence, God, every day in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can receive it now by faith in this evening. Thanks, Rossi.
Julle is nie vir 10 generasie. En ek is 'n baie ou generasie. My ouma is in 1852 gebore. So ek is baie oud. And I'm looking at you. And these are great times to be alive for Jesus. Great times. In every young person's heart, there's usually dreams for their lives. And you know, that's the one thing that we've got to lay down and dream, not of Jesus, but live with Jesus. Now I want to urge every one of you of this generation to really seek after the Father's love and the relationship with Him. Seek after the one that is your life, Lord Jesus. Seek after the Holy Spirit that will make you strong to stand against self and all that I want. And seek after what Father God wants. We have a great God. He is the only God. And life is not easy. But remember, this is not your life. You belong to the kingdom of God. And when trials and troubles come, and there's difficulties and hardships, and things you don't understand, remember at that moment, the victory that your life is, the victory that Lord Jesus did so much to win for you. He's given it to you, His victory. It's for you that He did it all. We're singing songs here. Get them into your hearts. When you're walking around doing things, let your heart be singing these songs. And see to it, dear, dear generation, that you have the Holy Spirit praying in your heart, night and day, all the time. Seek after Him, for He is the life of Jesus in you. And He's the one that will tell you what the Father and Jesus wants from you, and the way to go and how to have it. And I want to tell you, from all the years that I've lived, there's one that's always been faithful and always been loving, no matter how little I've been, and that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Thank you. Father God, I just ask you to pour a blessing out on this congregation, to continue to equip their minister, the one who's pastoring them, to equip the band, but to equip every single one that's standing here and the others who are going to come here. Equip them for the wonder of being citizens of the kingdom of God. I ask you to pour out a tremendous blessing of a passion and a fire in each one's heart for your Son, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's just receive the word of the Lord. I just sense we must just receive it all, Father. We thank you for speaking to us, Lord, as a congregation. We receive your word, Lord. We receive what you want to do to us in these last days, Lord. What you want to do in us and through us, Lord. And we just yield ourselves to you, Lord. We want to thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We want to thank you for changing our lives, for touching our lives. Thank you for times like this, Lord, where we can just realize, Lord, that life is about you, Lord. Everything we do, Lord, not only a Sunday, but Lord, every day, every moment we breathe, it's all about you, Jesus. We thank you for that tonight. We give you praise and glory. I just want to ask the ushers to just pass around the offering bags, and just as an offering of thanksgiving, let's just give to the Lord out of abundance, not out of lack, and out of faith. And if you do have a testimony to share or something to thank God for, then you're welcome to come forward. You may take your seats. Let's just remain in an attitude of worship now. Let's not talk or anything like that. Just close your eyes once you've finished putting what you have in the offering bag, or if you don't have anything, it's fine. Just focus on the Lord right now. God wants to speak to us. We're not going to play church any longer. But it's actually amazing. Just before Rassie started to share, I just had a prompting in the Spirit. Bit of a warning for all of us. Just sense the Lord saying that the time for playing religion and time for playing church is over. God wants us to be on fire for Him or not. There's no more playing games. I just sense some of us need to make decisions this evening, and it's a bit of a hard word, but I just sense God is saying seriously to us, it's no time for games any longer. No time for half Jesus, half of this, a little bit of this, a little touch here, a little visitation there. God wants us to go full out for Him. I just really sense that we just need to make decisions and say, Lord, we want to follow you fully. We're tired of just having a little bit of you on a Sunday. We want you every day, Lord. But I just sense some of us have to make a decision now to go full out for Jesus. And you're going to have to repent of sin. You're going to have to leave sin. You're going to have to leave stuff that is holding you back from the fullness of God. You know what it is in your life that's holding you back. And you just need to, for once and for all, cut it and say, I'm finished with this now. But I really sense God is urging us to not play church any longer, and to really say, Lord, we want to, your fullness, we want to go full out for you or not. And it's just a decision that we must make. It's just to say, Lord, we don't want to just have an experience any longer, just a nice event or a nice happening on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or whenever we get together. But our lives need to reflect God. I just sense, even as when I was driving, I saw the storm and just the wind blowing, and I just sense the shaking, that all of us are going to be shaken in this time. And that's why we need to live lives of thanksgiving. We need to live lives where we are thankful for our lives. We are thankful for everything we have and for who God is in our lives, because there's a shaking coming. Even as this weather is so weird, it should be cold now and it's warm. And you know, God is just saying He's going to start shaking the foundations of each and every one of our lives to see what is there, what sustenance and what stuff is there that will remain, because that is from Him. But what is not from Him, He's going to shake it. And I sense the Lord saying tonight, let it go. Let that go which He is shaking and sifting out of you. Let it go completely. And allow God to just shape in you what He wants to do in you. But I sense there's a storm on its way. And if we're not thankful, if we're not in the quiet place, and the word I brought at the beginning of the year was Psalm 91, being in the secret place, remaining in the secret place of the Most High God. And if we don't remain in that place, the storms will shake us, and we'll get shaken, and we'll get offended, and we'll run away from God unless we say, Lord, we allow You to shake us, we allow You to shape us, we allow You to change us. And just as Rihanna testified, what she experienced this morning was just God shaking her foundations, just God shaking her previous experience of His fullness and who He really is. And so I want to encourage you guys, come to whatever event there is, whatever thing is happening to allow you to learn more. Come and just receive from God and allow God to shake you. And allow God to shape in your life what He wants to do. But tonight there is going to be an opportunity for us to come forward and just to say, Lord, we lay down the things that are holding us back. We lay down that which is keeping us back from living a life consecrated to You, living a life fully unto You. So let's all close our eyes. Father, we thank You that we can even this evening be thankful for our finances, be thankful for our daily bread that You provide for us. Thank You that tonight as we give, Lord, we give out of thankful hearts. Lord, You love a cheerful and a joyful giver. And tonight we are that, Lord. We are the cheerful givers in Your house tonight. We want to glorify You. And so I pray that these finances, Lord, indeed will glorify Your name. Indeed will give glory and praise to Your name. So we pray Your blessing over these finances. Multiply them, Lord. Let Your kingdom come through just our giving tonight. In Jesus' name. Everybody says, Amen. Amen. Al Riava, it's gedeel het.
Oh, okay. Ek was genoeg met julle deel. So lang in my lewe het ek my sukses so gaan soek in prestasies. En so lang in my lewe het ek so gaan dink, ek gaan net 'n sukses wees as ek seker iets bereik het. As ek sekere vlak bereik het op skool, of as ek 'n sekere persentasie bereik het op skool. Of kom ek op universiteit, het ek gedink, yes, ek gaan net 'n sukses wees as ek in sekere goed op universiteit bereik, of sekere goed in die koshuis bereik. En so het my regtig gedraai, het ek, dis ook myself in die Here se oë gesien het. Ek het gesien, as ek sekere goeders bereik, dan het ek 'n sukses in die Here se oë. En hierdie vakansie, die Here so baie in my hart kom werk, van ek sal reeds 'n sukses. Verstaan, niks wat ek ooit kan doen, kan my meer of minder sukses maak nie. En ek wil sommer vanaand met julle kom deel, iets wat laasweek gebeur het, toe ons hier voorgestaan het. Ek is nou amper so 3 jaar in die band, en elke keer was het vir my so groot vrees, as ek moes sing, as ek soos alleen een liedjie moes lei of so. En dit was elke keer vir my soos, dit het binnen my begin bewe, en elke keer dan was ek die keer die vrees gehad, van sê maar ek vat die noot verkeer. Dan gaan ek soos 'n failure wees. En elke keer het ek gedink, sê maar ek vat die noot verkeerd, dan gaan die Here dink ek's 'n failure. En dan gaan ek die Here so teleerstel. En toe die Here so met my die vakansie kom deel, om in totaliteit net oor te gee, want jy sal reeds sukses. En niks wat jy in die lewe ooit kan doen, kan jou meer sukses maak nie, want hy sal reeds vir jou lief, presies soos jy is. En toe verlede week, het ek in hierdie ding ingegaan, en ek sê, Here, in totaliteit gee ek net oor, soos alles. Ek wil hê, U moet vanaand die worship kom lei, en nie ek. Ek wil hê U moet vanaand kom sing, en die Gees moet vanaand deur my kom sing. En daai eerste noot wat ek gevat het, wat ons Revelation song gesing het, het dit vir my letterlik gevoel, ek maak net my mond oop, en die Gees sing. En dit was regtig vir my, asof ek buiten my liggaam staan, en net sien hoe die Gees sing. En ek wil julle regtig kom encourage vanaand, van, as al goed is in jou lewe, wat jy denk, jy moet dit eers bereik, voordat jy in die Here se oë sukses is, en jy voel dalk vanaand, weet jy, jy het al so baie verkeerd gedoen, en daar is nooit in jou lewe een kans dat jy so groot of sukses gaan wees in die Here se oë nie, want jy het al soveel misluk. Wil ek vanaand vir jou kom sê, ten spyte van wat jy al in jou lewe gedoen het, jy sal reeds 'n sukses. Ten spyte wat jy al in jou lewe gedoen het, die Here is jou lief, presies soos jy is. En niemand verdien die Heilige Gees meer as iemand anders nie. en die Heilige Gees is al reeds in jou. Die Heilige Gees wil in jou werk. Al wat die Heilige Gees vra is dat jy hom allow. Al wat die Heilige Gees vra is dat jy net in totaliteit sal surrender, dat die Gees kan kom werk. En dis net wat ek wil vir julle sê is, soos, lê net letterlik in alles, in totaliteit, alle idols wat julle het, alle drome wat julle het, gee dit oor, en dan sê julle regtig die werking van die Gees sien.
Really, didn't plan to bring this word, but I felt this tremendous urgency, especially when Alistair spoke about just making your mind up and just this thing of serving the Lord, just making it an urgent matter in your heart. And I just couldn't sit in my chair anymore. I had to come up and just share this with you. It's from 1 Kings 17 verse 14. It's just to confirm what he has said earlier on, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And then 1 Kings 18, from verse 21, and Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. I just want to encourage you tonight, it's probably not an encouragement, it's not a suggestion. We have to make up our minds who we're going to follow. And I know we confess to be Christians all, but especially on the subject of finances, make up your mind who you want to serve. We live in a world where Baal is king, but the Lord is asking, how long will you falter between two opinions? And I just feel that this is a word for someone or a few of us tonight.
Anyone else feel like they prompted by the Lord to share anything? You're welcome to come. Thank you, band. You guys are a blessing. I appreciate you. It's very quiet in this place tonight. The Lord is here. And He's speaking to us. But just turn to someone next to you quickly and shake them and just say, the Lord is in His house. It is a joy to be in the house of the Lord. Sometimes it's a challenge to hear hard words, but tonight I trust and this word will encourage you and will challenge you, but it's exciting times. Goeie tye. Yes, these heaters are like in the middle here. It's interesting. I have to preach around. Looks like rugby poles, yeah. Okay, guys. I'm going to just share the word that, or just expand on the word that Fred shared. Some of us that were here on Friday evening will have experienced a great breakthrough maybe in your life. And if you do want to get the devotional, you're welcome. It's on the laptop with Mariska. So it's just a 20-minute devotional by Pastor Fred, our senior pastor. So please, if you want to get that, just give Mariska a flash drive. And you can get it and listen to it, and it will change your life. But I'm going to just expand a little bit on what he said, because I do sense that this word is for us. I realize from my own life, many times we focus on the negative. We see what's not right, and we start to criticize, and we sort of get a bit down because we're missing God, and we're not thankful. And we're not focusing on what God has done and so on. So this evening, I trust that we'll all be very thankful when we leave this place of really who God is and what He has done in our lives. Now, I don't know about you guys. Have you ever had this experience where you've got a bunch of keys and you have to now find the right key? And you've got to go through about 10 keys to get into the door, and you try sort of all 10 of them, and then you try them again, and eventually, somehow by the third time, you seem to get the right key. You go through about 30 keys because you've gone through them all three times, and eventually you find the right key. Anyone had that experience? I hate bunches of keys that aren't labeled, okay? So I don't know if you've had that experience, but when you find the right key, isn't it amazing? Like, you're so thankful that you've got the right key, and you go into the door, and yes, your search is over. Isn't that an amazing feeling to find that right key? Okay? So tonight, I believe that there's a certain key here that that we need to get into the presence of God. Okay, I don't know about you. Who desires yet to be in the presence of God? Who wants to be in the presence of God with everything in you? In any hands here this evening? Because I do. I really want to get into the presence of God. But why do we many times not experience God's fullness many times? Why is it that sometimes we just struggle to get into the presence of God? And I believe this is a key into His presence. The psalmist says, and Tien's read the psalm, or he didn't really read it, but he sort of quoted it, half quoted it. But it talks here about in Psalm 95. It says here from verse 1, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms." And then another psalm says very much the same thing. It says in Psalm 100 verse 4, "Enter into His gates." In other words, it talks about coming into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. So I believe this is a very important key to getting into the presence of God, the key of thanksgiving. Because many times, and I've seen it in my own life, when God starts to move, then what do? We focus on the things that aren't right. We focus on what's not happening. We focus on all the negative stuff. And God wants us truly this evening to make a shift and to really say, "Lord, we want to thank You for what You've done in our lives. We want to thank You because we tend to focus so much on what isn't instead of on what God has already done in our lives." So how do we give thanks to the Lord? Psalm 107 is an amazing psalm. And I'm going to go through a few verses of Psalm 107 because the psalmist here is really encouraging all of us and encouraging the readers that he wrote to originally, whoever it was, they're not exactly sure, it wasn't David specifically, so someone else wrote that psalm, to encourage the listeners and the readers to give thanks. Because four times in that psalm, I don't know if you've read Psalm 107, but four times in that psalm, the writer says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Now, if something is repeated four times in the Bible, I guess it's pretty important, wouldn't you agree? So four times in that psalm, he says, "Oh, that men would just give thanks." Okay. But let us look at how do we give thanks to God? What must we give thanks for? And it's not a method or anything like that. But I believe if we can get this right in our prayer life, in our worship, in our everything we do, if we start with this, when we come into the presence of God, we say to Him, first of all, thanks for certain things. So I'm going to go through, there are just three things that I'm going to go through this evening that we can truly be thankful for. First of all, it starts by saying this in verse 1. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 107, because I haven't got the whole psalm on the PowerPoint there. I've got the verses that I will focus on. But just open your Bibles to Psalm 107, and let us look at what the Bible says to us this evening. It starts off by saying, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." So the first thing that we need to give thanks to God for, or the first thing that we need to do in order to give thanks to God, is first of all to recognize who He is. Because I don't know about you, many times we come into God's presence with, we're asking Him for something. In other words, it's a petition or a supplication, or we're trying to say, "Lord, You intercede for someone," so we bring to, you know, someone on behalf, we come and stand in the gap for someone, we intercede for someone. So we come with a lot of other stuff before the presence of God. Would you agree? If I have to ask a few people, what is the first thing that you do when you pray? You're probably going to say, maybe I pray for my finances, or pray for a wife or a husband, or I ask God for something, or I, you know. But how many of us come into the presence of God and we do this first? We say, "Lord, thank You that You are good. Thank You that Your mercies endure forever." And that's what the psalmist says. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, what? For He is good." So first of all, we've got to know that God is good. We must come into His presence knowing, first of all, that He is good. He is perfect. What He says goes. What He does is right. If we don't agree with it, we're wrong. And He's right. Amen. God is good. In other words, that word good is so, I mean, this good word good just seems very, it's actually a little bit of a, it doesn't really describe God's fullness, because He's so much more. But this word good means He's perfect, He's awesome, He's amazing. You can add a lot of words there. God is awesome. But I guess the psalmist just couldn't have enough space for all the words to describe God. So he just thought, okay, the word good seems a good summary for that, for who God is. But the point here is that God is good. He's benevolent, He's kind, He's amazing, He's for us And if he's for us, who can be against us? So we must first of all recognize who God is in our lives. And that's why we've been given the Word. We've been given the Bible to explain to us who God is. We've been given the Old Testament to tell us of God's faithfulness over many years and many generations of unfaithful people. God remains good and He remains faithful. And then it says here that His mercy endures forever. That is who He is. He's a merciful God. He's a kind God. He loves us. He's for us. So I really want to say that this evening, because some of us still think, oh, circumstances don't work out, so maybe God is not so much for me. Maybe there's still something that, you know, God must do for me. But God is perfect. God is amazing. So come to Him, first of all, and thank Him for who He is. And then secondly, and I'm going to expand a little bit on this. Psalm 107 continues. Verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You know that song? "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, say so." Okay? I can't sing a little bit yet. I'm not supposed to be in the band. Okay? "Whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You and me, the redeemed of the Lord, this is what we must say. We must know that God is good and we must start to say it. Okay? It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." In other words, you must speak it out. You must say who God is. Well, some of us are a bit silent. So God wants us to shout His praises and His thanks out there to the rooftops, and that everyone can hear it. And not only, you know, your little bedside lamp, or your little Bersi, or your little rhino that sleeps with you. Like my son, he loves to go to bed with, first of all, he's got to have his Didi, and then he's called his dummy a Didi, and then he's got to have his Bersi, his blanket, and then he's got to have his rhino and his little bear. But you know, if we like him sleeping with all these things, those are not the only things that are supposed to hear that God is good, okay? The people out there must hear that God is good, because why? We are the redeemed of the Lord. Who else is going to say it? If the redeemed of the Lord are not going to say He's good, who's going to say it? The people who are not redeemed are definitely not going to give thanks to God for His goodness, because they haven't tasted of His goodness yet. So whose responsibility is it to say thanks to God? The redeemed. Are you the redeemed? Am I the redeemed? Say to someone next to you that you are the redeemed of the Lord. Tell them, you are the redeemed of the Lord. You have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And if you're unsure tonight will be an opportunity for you to become a new creation, to become made whole and made new, and be part of the redeemed. But it says here, and these redeemed have been gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. God has redeemed you. God has saved you. God has brought you out of the mess that your life was in. In other words, what is God trying to say to us through the psalm? He's trying to say, remember your testimony. Remember where you've come from. Think a bit about how far you came from and where you've come from into His presence. It's awesome to hear testimonies of what God is doing in our midst, because God is still changing lives. Okay, our church is alive. Praise the Lord. I don't ever want to be a church where we don't have testimonies and we're not shouting out God's goodness to the world out there, and encouraging one another that God is actually bringing people from the east and from the west. He's saving people. Where they thought they were so far from God, just in a confession and in believing in your heart, you can be changed. Okay. So for what He has done in your life, you need to be thankful. That's what the psalm is trying to say. First of all, for who He is. Secondly, for what He has done. But let's look at what He has done, because the psalmist carries on and to say the following. This is truly what the redeemed of the Lord should talk about. And he mentions four things here. He mentions four things that us as the redeemed of the Lord can be thankful for. Verse 4 says the following. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. As I said, I didn't put the whole psalm down there. But that was the first bunch of people, or the first sort of category that you can say that the psalmist focused on. He says these people were wandering in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. And verse 5 and 6 talk about, then they cried out to the Lord. And what happened? He led them forth, in verse 7, by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. In other words, that talks about us who were lost. Talks obviously about the Israelites wandering in the desert, being lost and everything like that. But it says here that us who were lost, who were wandering in the wilderness, we didn't know where we needed to find a home. But guess what? When we turned to God, He led us by the right way, that we might find and go to a city and find a home. Anyone found a home this evening? Anyone found a home in Jesus? Is there anyone saved in the house this evening? Anyone experienced salvation? Anyone experienced how God has saved you from when you were wandering in the wilderness? Anyone, did you guys experience some wilderness in your life at a time where you were lost? Because guess what? You know, sometimes we say, we found God. No, no, He's never been lost. Jesus was never lost. He found us. Because we were wandering in the wilderness, okay? So you mustn't say, ooh, I found Jesus. Jesus found you. Why? Because you were lost. I was lost. So that is the first thing that we need to thank Him for what He has done in our life. He has saved us from when we were wandering in the wilderness. Maybe tonight, you're here and you are just so unsure about where your life is heading. As Rusty said, maybe you're just not sure what your purpose is. Your only purpose will be found when you come to know Jesus. That is the truth tonight. You will never find fulfillment. I've seen men strive after things and trying to strive after success in life and building careers and building things. And when they just, I can see there's a gap in their lives because they don't know Jesus. They're running from the one thing to the next thing. I had a boss, my first company I worked for, and he was such an anointed man in terms of business and he was an entrepreneur and he started this company, but you know, he just was longing after just more and more and more, and he just couldn't find fulfillment. And when I left the company, I knew his marriage wasn't at a good place, and I've heard later that he's been divorced and he's just broke or just burnt bridges everywhere he went. He had a good relationship with the university, and then through just pride and arrogance, he broke that relationship and they kicked us out of the varsity. We had to go all the way out to Atlantis, and luckily he had a sort of, you know, the company was sort of already starting there, so we could move our premises. Then he burnt bridges with other places, other contractors and other clients. But you know, just striving after more and more and more, and just couldn't find peace in his life because he didn't find this fulfillment in Jesus. Didn't believe. And he had the opportunity. We had the opportunity to minister to him and to just tell him about Jesus, but he didn't really receive it. He just thought that he knows better. And he was a very academic guy, a very clever, brilliant guy. In fact, he was actually even asked to work for Ferrari because he was such a genius in terms of an engineer, mechanical engineer, knew everything about an engine, about an internal combustion engine. But I could see just every day he was striving after more and more and more in his life. And he just couldn't find fulfillment. Why? Because he was wandering in the wilderness in a desolate way, not finding the peace. Because God is the only one that can lead us forth on the right way, that we might find a home and find a house, a dwelling place. Isn't that good news tonight? But we need to be thankful for that. So my point is not to try and depress you tonight, but to say to you, let us be thankful for where God has taken us from. And maybe tonight you need to come forward and to say, Lord, for the first time, I want to thank you and I want to receive the salvation that you've given for me because I'm lost. I need you. Secondly, verse 10, the second group of people or the second part of the psalm here says, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. And then it talks about these people who are in, it talks here about obviously people in prison, people who are bound. And then it says, they cried out to God because they realized that He's the only one that can save them. And in verse 14 it says, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Second thing we need to be thankful for is that when we were bound, because all of us have a testimony of being bound by something, we all grew up with bondages. We all grew up with chains that held us back. Some of us have done the foundation. Some of us have gone to deliverance ministries. Whatever you experienced when you were delivered, you have a testimony. And you need to remember that your freedom doesn't just come easily. Your freedom came at a price. Jesus died for your freedom. So remember and give thanks for when you were the times that you were bound. And guess what? Who let you out? Who set you free? It was Jesus Himself. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. Broke their chains in pieces. And maybe some of us here are still sitting with bondage in your life. You're still sitting with something that's holding you back. You're still sitting with something that you need to let go of and be set free of. And there's good news tonight. You can just thank Jesus for that. Let it go. Put it at the cross and you can be set free. But you need to come and say thank you. Because when you were bound, there's an opportunity for you to be set free this evening. The third thing, in verse 17, it says, fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Yeah, it's just talking about sick people, because the verse carries on and said that this person can't even eat anymore. They're so sick in their bodies, their soul just rejects any food. And then they cry out to God. And what does God do? He sent His word, and He healed them, delivered them from their destruction. So when you were afflicted, when you were sick, anyone here got a testimony of healing when you were sick and Jesus healed you? Anyone like that? Have you asked Jesus for healing? When you were afflicted, when you were sick, Jesus came to heal you. And all of us, some of us even sitting with afflictions this evening. Why? It's because of the sin. I said it last week again. It's just because of the sin. It's not necessarily your fault. But we're all born into sin, so we all have iniquities and transgressions that are passed down. And we need to turn away and say, Jesus, the only way I can get rid of this is by turning to you. The only way is I can receive my healing from you. And then we need to receive his word and receive healing from him. But we need to thank God for that. We need to thank God for our health. You know, this weekend we had a fast now. Some of us did fast. But like when you fast sort of at the second day, you start to feel like, yes, you know, it's getting quite tough now, and I really need to trust God because, you know, the taste of water is now just a little bit, you know, I'm over it now. I'm over the taste of just drinking water kind of thing. So can't I just drink something else? Can't I just... And then I just had this thought to myself, and the Lord just prompted into my heart and said, but you just think of yourself now as not eating for these few days, and also think of yourself as sick. Think of yourself as in bed, not wanting to eat. What do you want to choose? Do you want to rather fast and be healthy and not eat? Because it's your choice, or do you want to be sick in bed where you can eat, but you sort of don't really want to? What would you take? And I was at a point where I'm thinking, this is like, not that it's so bad, but I'm thinking anything now would be better than this situation, okay? So I'm complaining here to God and everything. God says, no, you better be thankful that you are healthy, even if you're not eating now. You better be thankful that I'm sustaining you here. Because if you will, and I remember the times when I lay in bed and, some of you will remember my wife and I got so sick last year, September. We both had to run for the toilet at the same time. Luckily, we have two toilets close by, but we were like double barrel, both triggers, you know, top and bottom, everything. We were sick, and I must say, I don't want to, that is like the worst. I would do anything rather than to be in that situation. But praise God, he saved us and he healed us. But, you know, I just thought of myself, I just said, God, thank you for my health. Thank you that I'm healthy. Thank you that I don't have to lie in bed like some people 24/7 are in a hospital. They are sick and they are afflicted. And I was just so thankful to God for, even though I can't eat now, and it was, I knew, it's only a couple more hours and then I can eat again. But praise God, it was such a blessed time of fasting and such a blessed time on Friday evening that we had in God's presence. Because after that, I just didn't need to eat. It was like, God, you fill me. You're awesome. But you know, when people are sick, it's the worst thing. But guess what? We need to thank God that we are healthy. We need to thank God for sustaining us, for delivering us out of the afflictions and out of the sickness. And then the last thing. It says, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, he calms the storm so that his waves are still. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters. Talks here about sailors going to do business on the sea. And in those days in the Mediterranean Sea, it was like you're not going to go into that sea for pleasure. It was such a stormy sea. And they used to dread it because they were probably so nauseous from the ships and stuff. But they had to still go and do business on the sea. And then they realized that they need to cry out to God and ask God to just calm these storms on the waters. And this for me talks about the storms in our lives, because sometimes God has called you to go into a stormy water, to go into a stormy place. He's called you to study a course. He's called you to do a job right now, and it feels maybe a bit stormy at this stage in your life. But God is almost, and the psalm actually goes on to say that God causes the storms to happen. And guess what? God is trying to tell us that he's testing us. Are we reliant on him to do this? Are we going to go in our own strength and forget about him? And then try and do it in our own. Try and go through the storm on our own. And God says that I'll be faithful. You call on me, I will calm that storm in your life. I will calm you that storm and I will let the waves be still that you can know that I'm God in your storm. So maybe tonight you're going through that storm. Maybe you've been through a storm in your life before. Then you need to thank God for what he has done, because he has calmed that storm in your life. So I don't know where you are this evening, but I just believe God wants you to be thankful and think back to those storms. And it actually says here, it's amazing, this psalm talks about the present tense. It says here that those who go down to the sea, you know, it's the whole thing in the present. The other three were all the past tense. It's almost like remembering about the past. But this is like while you're in it, then I believe that, you know, we're not going to go into easier waters. The spiritual realm is going to get more tense. There are going to be more storms. There are going to be more challenges, more shaking taking place. But when you are in the storm, who is your refuge? And who have you already thanked? And are you thankful for the storms that have been calmed in your life? And are you still going to be thankful for God to calm the storms in your life? Or are you going to run around getting all emotional? I just want to ask, before I carry on, I'm almost finished, but I just want to ask Yani to come and just testify about how the Lord has changed her life. Yeah, she's got lots of stories to tell, but I asked her just to tell this one story of just how God has been present in her life at the moment.
Thank you, Alistair. Hi, guys. I'm just going to pray that the Lord just going to limit my words. But on Tuesday, we were in Bible school, and I felt really attacked that the whole week because in my first year, I was diagnosed with ADD, that's attention deficit disorder. That's the little children in school that we always joke with who drink Ritalin. I'm one of those people. I found out that I got the diagnosis and I started drinking Ritalin, and then I got off the medication, and I, in my own flesh, I actually organized my whole little life according to my diagnosis, and I coped very well, and I thought that that I could do it in my own strength. And then after 2 weeks that I worked with a woman that also had ADD, I just lost all my marbles. In my own strength, I just couldn't organize anything anymore. And this week was the beginning of the week was really a challenge for me. And I was so depressed and felt so self-conscious about the fact that I cannot organize anything in my own head. I don't have the ability to focus on anything in class. I don't have the ability to sit in a group with people and just focus on what they are saying to me and focus on the task that they are giving me. And I felt so inferior. And then I told this to some of my friends, and we started praying on Tuesday night, and we just I just realized that I've never asked the Lord for deliverance from this. I just accepted this as part of my identity, and I just almost laughed it off since I got the diagnosis. I just laughed about it and just said, oh man, this is just the way I am. And I realized Tuesday night that the Lord says he wants us to be of a sound mind, and I wasn't at all. I was never of a sound mind. I was always all over the place. And so we started praying, and we just started trusting the Lord. And I just started trusting that the Lord really wanted to take this away from me, that it wasn't as hard for me to struggle so much to just organize my small little world, that I don't have any strength left to do anything else. It took all of my energy to just keep everything together. And then as we were praying, guys, it was amazing. It was the most amazing experience. I just felt how a peace and a calm that I can never explain to anyone in words came over my mind. And it was as if there were these high-frequency voices that were in my mind, and as if they just went out of my head. And as if all these, it was like a big noise that just left me. And I never realized how noisy it was in my head until it was gone. And it was as if it was as calm as this, as like this pond, as if the still water. And the Lord just took all of the noise out of my head. And guys, I'm standing here in front of you, and I'm not struggling to talk to you guys, and I'm not struggling to concentrate on what I'm saying. And there's no noise in my head. He took it away. And now when I'm still, I can just feel it's like there's this big vacuum of air in my head. There's no noise. So I'm just praising the Lord for that.
All the glory to Jesus. He still calms the storms today. Amen. He still calms the storms in real people's lives who are just like us. And he can do it in all of our lives if we just desire it and we want it. But we must be thankful, first of all, for what he's already done. Lastly, just to recap again. First of all, we thank God for who he is, first of all. Secondly, for what he has done in various areas, for saving us when we were lost, for delivering us when we were bound, for healing us when we were afflicted or sick, for delivering us and calming the storms in our lives. And then, lastly, the psalm ends like this, 35 to 38. It doesn't quite end, but towards the end of the psalm, the following. He, once again, He, God, turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There He makes the hungry dwell that they may establish a city for habitation and sow fields and plant vineyards that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them and they multiply greatly and He does not let their cattle decrease. This is the God we serve. He will always continue to do this in our lives. Where there's drought, where there's a wilderness, He will turn it into pools of water, into water springs. And that reminds me a lot of what Jesus said in John 7, where He said that if you know Me and if you receive the fullness of Me, you will have rivers of living water flow out of you. Talking about the Holy Spirit flowing out of us, rivers of living water. There will be water springs in our wilderness. But we must desire it. Because as Yanni said, sometimes we're just happy with the drought. We're happy with to survive through life. We're happy with a half measure or just some freedom and a little bit of water here and there. But He says water springs. There will be pools of water. There will just be water all over the place. Despite the wilderness, He will change it. He will turn it. And then it says He makes the hungry. There He makes the hungry dwell. So when you're hungry, He will give you the power to establish a habitation. You will be able to, by His strength, establish a city. You'll dwell there. You will sow fields, plant vineyards. They will yield a fruitful harvest, whatever you put your hands to. If you're committed to God and say, God, I'm doing this for You, then He will start to allow you to yield a fruitful harvest. He blesses them. They multiply greatly. He does not let their cattle decrease. So whatever you put your hands to, He will be faithful. He will bless you financially if you commit your ways to Him. Because this psalm talks here about the justice of God, that God is faithful and just to those who seek Him. And those who don't, He's just. They cannot inherit in eternal life if they haven't followed Him. Just a few verses before that. But He says that those who follow Him, He's contrasting two things. The people who don't follow Him, they will go to ruins in the end. But those who do follow Him, He turns their lives into pools of water, water springs, a city for habitation, sowing fields, planting vineyards, yielding a fruitful harvest. Anyone want a life like that? That talks about abundant life. That is what Jesus came to give us, life in abundance. And He will always do this. He's faithful to do this. So we're going to have an opportunity. I want the band to come up now. We're going to sing a few more songs and we're going to have an opportunity now to take communion. Because when we take communion, this is the thing that we need to do. We need to just thank God and thank Jesus for His body and His blood. But I just want to finish off with this. What happens when you are thankful? I haven't got it up there, but you can write it down. I'll go through it slowly. What happens when you are thankful? When you keep thanking God, first of all, you acknowledge that God is God in your life. You acknowledge that God is God. And obviously that you are not. That you are not in control. That God is in control of your life. So that's the first thing. When you are thankful, you acknowledge that God is God. Secondly, you take the focus off yourself. And that is the best thing that you can do, is to not focus on yourself. Because our worst enemy, friends, is ourselves. The sinful me, I, myself, where it's all about me. Me, 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 me. What's in it for me? The five-finger salute. What's in it for me? It's all about me. That's the worst thing. But when we take the focus off ourselves, and when we are thankful, that brings us life. Because then it's not about us anymore. That's the second thing. And then the third thing is you actually connect with God. You actually come into His presence, because it's not about you. It's all about God. It's not about you coming into His presence. Ooh, how cool am I coming into the presence of God? It's about God's presence. So you actually take the focus off yourself and you acknowledge that God is God, and then you connect with God. And then fourthly, you actually start to see the positives. You see what God has already done. And you see what God is already doing in your life. Instead of saying, what haven't you done? God, do this and this and this for me, because I'm just so negative focused. There's this and this and this that's out of order, Lord. This is not perfect and this is not working. Lord, change that. But you just don't even see what God is already doing in your life. And isn't that amazing? That cycle is like a whole cycle that starts, because when you start to see the positives, guess what? You're actually even more thankful. You start to thank God for more things. And when you thank Him for more things, then you even see more positive things. And you just can't stop thanking God and thanking God and thanking God. Isn't that amazing? But we have to start somewhere, and we have to start to say, thank You, Lord, just for my salvation. Thank You, Lord, for healing me, even if it was 10 years ago. thank you, Lord, because I could have still been sick today if you didn't heal me of that cancer or that ADD or whatever you healed me of. Thank you, God, for delivering me of my fear of failure and my fear of rejection. Thank you for giving me a life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even though I'm going through storms right now, Lord, thank you right now for your deliverance. Thank you that you will calm the storm. So thank him now already. Even if you're going through a storm, just say thank you to him. And you'll see how faithful he is. And then you'll start to see the positives. Then you'll start to see that even in the storm, God was doing amazing stuff. Because guess what? When we're in the storm, it's all like, oh man, this is just bad stuff. And we forget about what God is trying to do through your life in the storm and in your life. And the psalm ends off like this. This is so awesome for me. Verse 43, it says, whoever is wise will observe these things. It's like a nice summary of the whole psalm. It says, whoever is wise will observe all these things. And guess what? They will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. It goes back to verse 1 where it says, the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And it just sums up. The only way you're going to see that is when you're thankful for all these things in your life. And it says, whoever is wise will do that. So guess what? We need to be wise. We need to be thankful in order to be wise. You will be wise if you're thankful. Otherwise, you're a fool, and fools don't really cut it in the kingdom of God. We need to be wise. We need to ask God for wisdom. Because he's delivered us of our foolishness. So he gives us the opportunity to choose to be wise. But very simply, just by being thankful. Just by thanking God. Isn't this amazing how we miss this so easily? This is such simple stuff. But yet, we focus on the more complicated things and our minds get all twisted with stuff and we're trying to work everything out. And God just says, just come and be thankful. I will calm your soul. I will show you what you need to know. Stop running around. So let's all close our eyes this evening. I want to ask the ushers also to just start to hand out the communion elements. But let's just spend some time in the presence of God as the bread and the wine are handed out. Lord, we thank you tonight that, Lord, there's actually so much, Lord, that we can be thankful for. But first of all, God, we thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you, Lord, right now for a revelation, Lord, of who you are. In every life represented here this evening. I pray, God, that you would show them. Show me, Lord. All of us. Show us who you are, Lord. That you are good, Lord. Your mercies endure forever. Thank you, Lord, that you turn our wilderness into pools of water, and Lord, our dry land into water springs. Thank you, Lord, that you establish a city for us, Lord, where what we put our hands to will prosper, God. Because we're your children, we're your beloved tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you want us to multiply, God. Not to stay still, not to be stagnant. Not to let our cattle decrease, God. You will make sure that we increase and we multiply. Thank you that you will continue to do that in our lives. Now, I just believe God just wants you to just remember your salvation again. Remember where you were before you knew Jesus in your life. Just think back to your salvation. Never forget where God has brought you from. Just think back to it now and thank God. And realize that you were indeed lost. You weren't great. You didn't find God. He found you. But sometimes we think we're so cool because we found Shofar Church or we found this church or we found Jesus there. But Jesus drew you there. Jesus found you. He pursued you all your life. So just come and thank him for it and honor him, because sometimes many times our testimonies, I sense just God wants to say this to us this evening, is our testimonies many times have more to do with us than with God. Because it's all about how great we were and how we pursued God. And God just says, lay that down tonight. Just thank Him for it. It's all about Him. It's all His work. Just thank Him for that healing that you received. Thank Him for just the deliverance and how He sustained you, how He's kept you through challenging times. If anyone didn't receive the bread or the wine, you can just quickly raise your hand, just show the ushers that you haven't. Everyone received. You are awesome, Lord. Before we're going to partake of the bread and the wine, I just want to ask, and while all our eyes are closed, let's just focus on the Lord right now. Maybe you're here tonight, and all this stuff is, you can't really thank God for anything because you don't even know who Jesus is in your life. You've known about Him, but you've never experienced Him. You've never experienced a testimony of coming to Him and asking for healing or asking for deliverance, because you're still in the wilderness. You're still wandering around. You're still lost this evening. So maybe that's you this evening, and you've never come to Jesus, the lover of your soul. You've never given your life to Him. So you haven't found a city, and the city talks about the New Jerusalem, eternal life. You've never experienced that peace where if you die right now, you know exactly where you're going. You're going straight to heaven. You're going straight to the New Jerusalem, the eternal city that God has placed and provided for you. Maybe you're that person tonight. Then you're the most important person here, because the rest of us, it's all about abundant life, but this is about life or death. Because if you haven't got life this evening, then you're at a dangerous place. But guess what? You're at the best place. Because that's why you're here tonight. And He wants to give you, He wants to start that abundant life process in your life when you give your life to Him. So is there anyone like that? While all our eyes are closed, no one is looking around. It's just between you and God this evening. If that's you this evening, you know you're still wandering in the desert. You're not sure that you're going to heaven this evening. You're not sure of that city. And that peace in your heart. Then I want you just to be bold and to just raise your hand and say, Alistair, I know that I'm not saved tonight. I know that I'm not a child of God. I know about God, and I've heard about Him so many times, but I've never given my life to Him. And I want you just to be honest this evening and just raise your hand. So I want that salvation. I want to be found by God. I give my life to Jesus tonight. And He's going to lead you forth by the right way. He's going to give that peace to you. So is there anyone like that? You know that you don't know Jesus this evening, or you're far from Him. Maybe you feel just distant from Him this evening. You're not in a relationship. You're not hearing His voice. You've heard His voice a couple of years ago, but you're not hearing His voice now. You're not in a living relationship with Him. Then you've got to be honest this evening. This is your opportunity. Tonight is your opportunity to step out of darkness into light. Is there anyone like that? Lost opportunity. Just be bold. No one's looking around. Just raise your hand this evening. If there's a tugging in your heart and there's an experience of you're not sure, must you do this, then be safe and do that. Because if you're unsure, you're unsure. And the devil will try to keep you in bondage and keep lying to you and say, you don't need it now. Just do it some other time. But tonight is your night. Is there anyone? Lost opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you tonight that your presence is here and that we can enjoy your fullness. Lord, tonight we just want to honor you and thank you for your body and your blood, Lord, that were given to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can partake of just this great sacrifice tonight, Lord, that you made many years ago. And Lord, it still applies today. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. Lord, we are so thankful that through your body, God, we can be healed. You took the pain. You took the suffering. You took the stripes, Lord, for our healing. And we receive your body again tonight. We receive your fullness. We become one with you tonight, Lord, as we take of your body. Let's all eat together. And just thank God. When you eat that bread, just thank God for the amazing sacrifice in His Son Jesus, and that His body was beaten and broken so we can be made whole. Lord, and we just thank You for Your blood that was shed for us, for our freedom, and for, Lord, all our sin, God, that was washed away by Your blood. We thank You tonight, and we thank You that it continues to apply, Lord, that every sin that we still commit, God, has been brought under the blood, and Your blood makes provision for every sin and every shortcoming of our lives. So we thank You. We receive Your fullness tonight. We do it by faith because we cannot understand it, Lord. It's so beyond our understanding that our holy God, an awesome God, would send His Son, a perfect sacrifice, to die for us. A man without sin. He knew no sin. He became sin for us, and we can be free tonight. We can be made righteous tonight. We thank You, Lord. Let's all drink together and just remember that the blood was shed for your sin, for the washing away of your sin. Thank You for Your anointing tonight. As we experience, Lord, Your sacrifice, we experience the fullness of Jesus empowering us to live this life, Lord. We thank You for it. We receive it tonight. Just thank God in Your own words.